tomorrow, Mr. and Mrs. North. Back to you Monday through Friday at the same time. Mr. and Mrs. North, transcribed, starring Barbara Britton and Richard Denning. Listen to Pam and Jerry in Chapter 1 of the mystery Night Walk.
Hello?
Dr. Prescott?
Yes, this is Dr. Prescott.
This is Wade Hatton, Doctor.
Wade Hatton? Oh, yes, Laura Hatton's husband.
Oh, then you remember my wife, Doctor. I have to see you, Doctor, right now, tonight.
It's rather late, Mr. Hatton. Won't tomorrow at my office?
No, no, it has to be tonight, Doctor. Tomorrow may be too late.
Mario's Cafe in the village is a place of candlelight, wine, and wonderful food. And right now, two of Mario's favorite customers, having finished a late dinner, sip their coffee in blissful contentment, unaware of what awaits them on the cold, deserted, wind-swept street outside.
What time is it, darling?
It's almost 11:30.
We better go.
If I can move.
I warned you about that second helping of scallopines. Well, come on, let's not keep the nightmare waiting.
The nightmare?
The one you always have after we've eaten at Mario's.
Yeah. Wonder which one it'll be tonight. The one where I'm being strangled to death in a bowl of spaghetti, or the one where Mario's beating me over the head with a lasagna?
You do let me know, won't you?
The first thing in the morning.
Come on, Jerry. We're keeping Mario from closing up.
Now, here we go.
Oh, Mr. and Mrs. North, are you leaving already?
It's pretty late, Mario.
No. How about one more cup of coffee, huh?
No, thanks, Mario.
Couldn't swallow another thing.
Dinner was okay, huh?
It was perfect.
Mario, you know what you should do?
What, Mr. North?
Write a cookbook.
Jerry, that's a wonderful idea.
No, you're joking me, Mr. North.
No, Mario, I mean it. Your recipe should be given to the world. And if you ever do write a book, you let the North Publishing Company publish it, understand?
Okay, Mr. North.
Good night, Mario.
Good night, Mario.
It's still raining.
Yeah, cats and dogs.
Where did you park the car?
Oh, around the corner. You better wait here in the doorway. No use both of us getting soaked.
All right, Jerry.
I'll be right back.
Jerry?
What?
Look, coming down the sidewalk, that woman.
What about
her? Well, look at her. No hat. She looks drenched and she's wandering along in a daze.
Oh, probably just a village character who's had one drink too many.
Here she comes. Darling, look. Wearing bedroom slippers and all the pajamas she has under her coat.
Yeah, that's a little weird, even for the village.
Jerry, there's something wrong with her.
That's for sure.
Well, what are we going to do? Just stand here and let her go wandering off?
Oh, now, please, Pam, let's not get involved in anything.
But there's something the matter with that woman, and we have to help if we can.
No, all right. Come on.
Oh, she's guiding across the street.
Against the light.
Miss!
Oh, wait a minute, miss. We want to...
Jerry, that car! It's going to hit her!
Wait, look out!
Stop it, Jerry! No! Oh, Jerry!
It's okay, Pam.
But if you hadn't pulled her back.
But I did, and she's all right.
Thank heaven.
Let's get her into Mario's.
What was the driver of that car trying to do? He must have seen her step into...
Darling, please, get back into Mario's.
All right, Jerry.
You're all right now, miss. You're okay.
Here, I'll get the door. Mario!
Let's sit down in this booth. Mario!
Yeah? Oh, Mr. and Mrs. North.
Sit down here, miss.
What's the matter, Mr. North? What's the beast?
We don't know.
Oh, Ma, what's wrong with her?
We don't know that either, Mario.
Get her some brandy, will you, Mario?
Oh, sure, right away.
Oh, she's trembling like a leaf.
Oh, can you blame her after a close call like that?
She must be soaked to the skin.
Here, Mr. North, this is the brandy.
Yeah, thank you. We better have some coffee, too, Mario.
Yeah, I'll get some. We'll take just a minute.
Here, miss. Here, drink this.
No.
Come on, drink it. Here, Pam, make her take the rest of it. I'm going out and get the car. You find out who she is and where she lives, and we'll take her home.
All right, Jerry.
I'll be back in a minute.
Here, have some more brandy. Please. Now finish it.
Better? Yes, thank you. I'm all right now. I better go.
Oh, no, no. You're going to sit right here and have some hot coffee, then my husband and I are going to take you home.
No, no. No, I can't go home.
Why not?
I just can't. I won't leave.
Here, sit down.
Oh, let me go.
But you can't go out there.
Let go of me.
No, you mustn't.
Let go. What?
Miss, come back here.
Come back, please. Come back.
I tried to stop her. She slapped me and ran out.
That's a strange. A woman to go out with just a coat over the pajamas, you know? That's a crazy.
Crazy is right. Well, what the devil do you suppose is the matter with her?
She's frightened. That's what's the matter with her. Honestly, darling, when I mentioned taking her home, she looks scared to death.
Well, as long as we don't know who she is or where she lives, there's nothing more we can do. So let's go home, shall we?
All right, darling. I'll get my purse out of the booth.
Well, good night again, Mario.
Good night, Mr. Norton.
Gary!
Yes, dear?
Come here.
What is it, then?
We picked a postcard. It was lying on the seat here in the booth.
Let's see. Laura, darling, we'll be home Monday night. I love you and miss you, Wade.
Look at the address.
Mrs. Wade Hatton, 97 Colby Street, New York City.
Darling, do you suppose that woman could have dropped it? I remember that she took a handkerchief from her coat pocket when she first sat down. Might have come out of her pocket then.
Yeah, maybe. Well, any one of a lot of other people could have dropped it, too.
Well, there's only one way to find out. Isn't Colby Street down here in the village?
Oh, sure. That's just a couple of blocks over, Mrs. North.
Then come on, Jerry. If that woman was Mrs. Wade Hatton, we're going to find out why she was so afraid to go home.
I hate to bother you at this time of night, Doctor, but I just have to talk to you.
Come in.
Thank you.
In here, if you will.
Yes.
And sit down.
Thank you.
Well, now, what is this about Mrs. Hatton? Is there something wrong?
Well, it's started again, Doctor.
Yes. What has started again, Mr. Hatton?
Laura sleepwalking. She's doing it again.
Oh?
I didn't know anything about it until this morning. I've been in Cleveland for a week on business. Well, this morning, Laura's sister called me long distance and told me she saw Laura walking in her sleep last night. Well, she said Laura went into the kitchen, took a butcher knife from a drawer, and she hid it under the cushions of the sofa in the living room.
Oh, go on.
That's all I know right now. I got in from Cleveland by plane just a little while ago.
Have you seen your wife?
No, I came right up here. I wanted to talk to you first.
Oh, I see. You say Laura's sister telephoned to you in Cleveland.
Yes.
Is this the same sister with whom your wife was living at the time of her first breakdown?
Yes, Evelyn. Evelyn Forbes.
And she works for you, too, doesn't she?
Well, for my partner, Frank Bates. And me, yeah.
Yes.
And look, Doctor, I remember what you told me when Laura came out of the sanitarium. That I was to get her as far away from Evelyn as possible, but
what, Mr. Hatton?
Well, Doctor, that isn't possible. I can't tell you why, but it isn't. Not right now, anyway.
Then can you tell me this much? How was it that Miss Forbes was able to see your wife walking in her sleep?
Well, Evelyn's been living with us.
Living with?
She moved into our apartment about 3 months ago.
I advise you to get your wife away from her sister. Instead, the three of you start living together.
Doctor, I tried to stop her. I didn't want her around, but I couldn't help myself.
You couldn't refuse her?
No.
Why not, Mr.
Well, I can't tell you that.
Well, until you can, I'm afraid there's very little I can do for your wife. However, I'll make arrangements to see her. Let's say, my office at 9 in the morning.
Well, Laura, have to go back to the sanitarium, Doctor.
Oh, I couldn't possibly answer that question now, Mr. Hatton.
But this business of Laura getting up and taking a knife and...
Hatton, when people walk in their sleep, they often do things that they want to do when they're awake, but are afraid to do.
But why would she want to hide a knife?
She doesn't want to hide it. She really wants to use it. But even in her sleep, she's afraid that she might use it. She feels guilty, and she doesn't trust herself. If she gets up and tries to hide the knife somewhere where even she can't find it, hiding the knife, as it were, from herself. Mr. Hatton, your wife sees her sister as a threat to her happiness. She believes her sister is in love with you, wants to take you away from her.
I know.
Is there any basis for your wife's fear?
Well, Evelyn's in love with me. She's told me so.
And are you in love with her?
Oh, no. No, I love Laura. I'd do anything for her.
Well, then do something about Miss Forbes, huh? Before your wife does.
Mr.
didn't want to wait for her.
Of course not. I'm coming with you.
Well, then let's go.
Hurry, Jerry.
I'm coming.
Oh, there's some mailboxes right in by the door.
Let's have a look at them.
Jerry Hatton.
105.
Must be the first floor down that way.
Yeah.
Jerry.
Yeah?
I've been thinking about the car that almost ran that woman down. Do you think the driver was deliberately trying to hit her?
Oh, now, wait a minute, ma'am. Hold it. Put the brakes on that imagination of yours.
I'm not imagining anything. The driver must have seen her, and I think it's very strange he didn't even stop after such a close call.
Ma'am, dear, it was dark, and it was raining, and the driver may not even have... Wait a minute. Hold it.
What's the matter?
This is 105, darling, and look...
The door's open. That's odd.
Yeah.
Ring the bell, Jerry. Ring it again. Hello? Hello, is anybody home?
Apparently not.
Well, there must be somebody here, Jerry. People don't go off and leave the door open.
Well, evidently these people do.
Come on, darling.
Where?
Inside.
Hold it a second, Pam. We're not sure that woman is the one who dropped the postcard you found. And if she isn't, these Hatton people probably haven't anything to do with it.
Well, if they don't, they don't.
And if they don't, how do we explain being in their apartment?
We'll cross that bridge when we come to it.
The trouble of it is, dear, you always seem to burn our bridges behind us before we even get the chance to cross them.
Darling, will you stop arguing and come on?
Oh, okay. But just one quick look around and we beat it.
There's nobody in here.
Then what are we whispering for?
Because... Oh, Jerry Noyes, you can be the most exasperating man. Oh, look, there's a light in that room. Let's look in there. Hello, is anybody... Oh, Jerry, look, on the bed. Oh, Jerry, she's dead.
With that knife in her back. Yeah. Mrs. North, transcribed, starring Richard Denning and Barbara Britton, comes to you each weekday night, Monday through Friday, at this same time. Mr. and Mrs. North is based on the characters originally created by Francis and Richard Lockridge, and is written for radio by Ken Field. Music is by Del Castillo. Mr. and Mrs. North is a John W. Lupton production. Be sure to join us again tomorrow evening for another exciting chapter in the mystery Night Walk. Art Ballinger speaking. One way to take the loneliness and monotony out of housekeeping is to stay tuned to CBS Radio for our wonderful daytime stories. You need a host of friends to take your mind off the daily chores. For instance, warm-hearted Aunt Jenny from Littleton, USA, with a humanity stories about folks in that town. There's the newspaper woman, Wendy Warren, Our Gail Sunday, Nora Drake, and Helen Trent, just to mention a few others. You enjoy making the acquaintance of all these interesting people weekdays on CBS Radio over most of these same stations. Hail, hail the gang's all at Amos and Andy's Music Hall, Monday through Friday night on the CBS Radio Network.